You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of long-form improv, and offer experimental one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Welcome to Long-Form Conversations. I'm Edgar Mopazine. We're taking a break from the format and doing a special palate cleanser highlighting Black UCB performers. And I'm joined by three excellent Black performers here to talk about their experiences being a Black person at UCB. So how about we just go around the table and introduce ourselves? We can start right here to my left.
My name is Ashley Holston. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Great. What team are you on?
I am on Herald Team Dollhouse, mm-hmm. and Indie Darlings, Obama's Other Daughters.
Indie Darlings. That is very true. They are Darled. How about right straight across from me?
What's good? My name is Ego Odom. I'm on Queen George. And fucking with all y'all niggas today.
Oh my gosh.
Already.
right out the gate.
Psych, Ego Odom on Queen George. What's up?
Greetings and salutations. Since this is how the podcast is already started. I'm not going to use the N-word today because it's Black Panther Day. My name is Carl Demonius Tart. I am on a team called Queen George, which is a Herald team. The Herald was invented in Chicago by Del Close and brought to
Edgar. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I was gonna do it.
When I was done. He was gonna do it when I was done. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My name is Edgar Mopazier.
I'm not done yet.
You just took a long breath.
He took a long pause there.
And Indie Darlings, white women. Gosh. I already started at me today.
Oh my goodness. My name is Edgar Mopazier. I'm on the Herald team Leroy, and I'm on the fondly appreciated indie team Arcade Currency. So I wanted to, I kind of came up with this idea of like doing like a panel of Black performers at UCB and kind of just talking about our own experiences in that. And to kind of open it up, how about we all just like talk about when we started here at UCB and what the Black numbers were looking like when we started. We have a varying degree of experience here, and some people have been doing it longer, some people a little shorter. So I just wanted to hear, like, for everyone, what it was like in terms of diversity when they started here at UCB and when they started at UCB.
I feel like I had it the easiest because I came in and Arcade was already here, white women was already here, and there were Black people on Herald Night. So I hear that wasn't normal.
No.
Before.
If you saw that UCB 20... like that 20, was it 20 or 10 years for the Herald out here? That
20,
anniversary?
20.
Yeah, it was like.
Wait, for LA? It was 10.
It was 10. The one that they did, which one was the celebration that they did last year? Was that the 20th?
Or it was the 20th.
That was the 20th for all the UCB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the LA one was 10.
It's 10, yeah.
2015, 2014.
And then It was pretty rough, some of those mashup teams. Like, you could see
as
it.
As far as them being good or just being white?
Being white. I mean, the mashup is never going to
be
perfect. Because
yeah, it was very white.
But it was very, I was like, oh, man. And like, people started posting up their pictures of, like, their original house teams. And it's like, damn, this is like.
Lily White.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I started UCB many moons ago. I started up here when diversity was like becoming a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I don't know if it was easier, but definitely like diverse. It was still very white. So yeah, it looks different now. So that's cool.
I started at UCB itself in 20. Am I too loud?
Oh my God.
I can't hear anything. I'm just talking in the thin air right now. I started at the UCB Theater in 2012.
My first class was in April of 2012, I believe. Yeah, March or April of 2012. And I...
Oh, you started a few months before me. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
And there will be no... That's not when I started improv, but because I was already kind of around. That's just when I took my first UCB class.
Yes. Yeah,
but I was doing UCB jams and stuff since 2010. And the black person that I met first, the only one I knew, was Ronnie. And that was it. And Marshall Givens also took classes over here, and Echo Kellum. But I knew them both from IO more than I knew them from UCB. So when I started on Harold Night, there was no black people yet. I don't think.
And Nicole Byer wasn't out here yet. Yeah, that's true.
So it was like a something I feel like kind of happened was that there would be a black person on Harold Night, and then when they left, like either because of industry or like they just weren't on it anymore, they got cut. Yeah. There'd be like these pauses of like no black people.
Yeah. Well, when I first started, is it okay? I heard that I'm peaking. Am I peaking or something? Anyway, when I first started taking classes. That was before, that was the Harold, when does Harold auditions come? In like September or something? Like so in that September, that's when Marshall, Brandon Weaver, and Echo got on Harold teams.
Okay.
And that was the first like three black people I had seen on Harold teams. Mm. And then they all got cut the next year. And that next year, that's when Ronnie and Zeke got on.
Okay.
And also.
Echo got cut or did he get moved to a different team?
Oh, no, no. He didn't get cut. He's on Winslow.
Yeah.
That they got moved to a different team, but Marshall got cut and Brandon got cut.
Wow.
And the timeline, I think, is correct on this. But then the next year, Ronnie and Zeke got on.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I left. And, but yeah, it wasn't no representation around here. When I first started taking, when I first started doing jams and stuff like that, it was just me and Ronnie, and that's how we became friends.
Yeah, I moved to LA in 2014 and was kind of like told by other black people not to go there because there wasn't going to be any representation or anything like that. They're just like, there's this one group called White Woman and that's it. Mm-hmm. And like, so I had heard about you guys from every black person being like, they're the only cool group.
Who are these black people?
I don't want to put them
black
on.
Black people don't come to our shows.
I don't want to put them on blast, but like, it was just like these dudes that I would ball with from the Comedy Store. I'll say that.
Oh, okay.
And they said that like, you know, you guys were like the only black group. So I kind of stayed away. And then when I started taking classes here in 2015, I would see a lot of black dudes, but, and I'll admit this to myself, I'll admit this about myself, I didn't talk to any of them because I was like, in my head, I was just like, man, if I hang around them, like we're not going to get picked up or anything like that because White Woman has that slot. And like, that's a myth that I made up in my own head, kind of like from like what I was hearing and stuff like that. So I would see two black dudes around all the time, Amana Doomer and Dane Troy, and avoid them at all costs. Like, not talk to them, not try to like go up at the jam with them and stuff like that. Cause I was trying to be like the token black dude on someone's white team. And I was like, these dudes is.
You guys started at a good time though.
Yeah, it started in a conversation. Yeah.
Mike Steele, who was the AD at the time, made a huge effort to put black teams up.
Yeah.
He made a huge effort to get representation on Harold Night. He made Maud Night 60, 40% women. And like a big percentage of people were of color.
Mm-hmm.
My first team on Maud, what was it called? Glendale.
Yeah,
it was a pretty colorful team.
Yeah, I guess. I remember Glendale.
And then when they came out with Ego's team, the New Deal, that's like 75% black people.
It's Diversity Superstars. Yeah, team. Yeah, it's an amazing Maud team. I do remember that. I feel I kind of am in the same boat with Ashley of like when I started here, it's like when I was like, it was a flip and Dane Troy kind of saw that and was just like, we got to make an all black team and like not say, I mean, yeah, I think it was a little bit easier. But then did you guys find hard times like settling into UCB at the top of it because of how little representation you guys saw?
Kind of. I mean, yeah, I feel like when you don't see yourself up on stage, it does just feel like, is there room for me? Does audience want me up here? Shit like that. But I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Carl?
Well, when I came over here, I had already been like in the community for a while.
Absolutely.
So I had a pretty easy road just because when I really like sunk my teeth into UCB itself, I was already built in on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they brought me over, like Ronnie brought me over from us doing jams together for years at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I found it hard when I first came around, but I also didn't look at it from a color standpoint. I just looked at it as, I thought I had found some sort of secret. Like I was like, oh, everybody else doing stand up, but I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And if I'm the only one and I get really good, everybody's going to have to put me on stuff.
That's kind of a similar thought that I had. Yeah.
So yeah, when I first was around, it would be hard. Like we mention this all the time, of all the white women was the one black dude on all of our indie teams.
Yeah.
And like some of the people that you still see playing around here today, we were all on teams with.
Mm-hmm.
And like Lamar used to host, what's that show, Cody? You don't know. what's that show? The Monday night? Not Monday night. Is it Monday night? What? I don't know. Some clubhouse show. Some indie show that Lamar used to host. One Love.
Lamar used to host One Love?
With Mike Callahan.
Did he host it with Peter too? Or did Peter take
Peter
over?
Was host. Okay, Peter took over for Lamar, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
That's so wild. That show is a very long running, a late night show at the clubhouse. Like it's like 11 p.m.
You're
performing to
two people.
Yeah.
I used to do that show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Before I came over here. And yeah, like back then, it would be hard to like be on an indie team and have some white dude who's, some of them are still around now, but ain't doing shit, tell you like, hey, it really throws us off when you make that reference and it derails the scene and it doesn't, like, we don't get it. It's like, because you're going black. And it's like, but what about when you said this and I didn't get it? Oh, well, why don't you get that? Like, that's pop culture. That's this, that's that. And it's like, no, I'm pretty good with pop culture. And that was a deep cut. Like, I don't get that. So if I can't make deep cuts, then you can't. But they see that as normal as opposed to when we do it as going black, you know?
Yeah, I remember saying in a team with my indie team something about like, oh, you're taking my shine. And they were like, oh, what? Now we're going to make the scene about why are you using slang? And I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
No, that's, and they're all nice, well-meaning white folks. But I was just like, that's not what this fucking scene is. Like, I wasn't trying to make. This isn't a topic of discussion. Yeah. This isn't the game.
What I was interested in talking about.
This isn't the game now.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
Somebody like, y'all do something that's black. Like either they didn't like it or they tried to use it as the game, which was not the case at that point. And so, then also we were all bad at that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's another thing. Like everybody was doing bad improv.
Yeah. So Ashley, do you, I've never really seen you on any other indie teams per se. So did you find it easier to develop as a player having like a strong like identity to kind of, you know, grow up with in Obama's Other Daughters?
Definitely. Obama's Other Daughters is where I learned improv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started UCB in March of 2016 and was on that team like, what, 3 months later? I didn't have to deal with people not understanding my references. Mm-hmm. I was super comfortable because we're all women, we're all black. Like, I knew they would get everything that I said.
Mm-hmm.
My issue comes later after, you know, being so comfortable with Obama's Other Daughters and then getting on Mess Hall and now Harold and not dealing with, they're all lovely people. But
you feel those differences.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I definitely feel like I check my references more and I'm trying not to do that and just lead with, you know, the thing that I think is most funny. But I've definitely felt like I've been left hanging because they didn't get, you know, my hot comb reference or, you know, whatever, a Living Single reference or whatever. But I'm working on it. If anyone has any suggestions.
Any Living Single references?
No, I have enough of those.
I was just watching the episode the other night where Kyle's girlfriend was hitting on Overton. It was Mari Morrow. And she kept hitting on Overton, kept like commenting on his butt and stuff. And she wanted to be like an open relationship. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. So going off of that, how do you, UCB is really like a strong point of it is that you can kind of be yourself and do improv. Like, you know, you can kind of like bring your own personality into it and stuff like that. Like, I remember reading a lot of people saying that the thing that they were fascinated about UCB is that the people all felt like you know, they would use their real names and they weren't creating these wild, wacky characters like other theaters.
I hate
and,
when
like,
people use their real names.
Being
scenes,
so
by the way. Fucking make up a name. Okay,
but like they're more talking about like playing at the top of your intelligence, sure. And using your own like kind of like source material. Do you guys kind of feel like being on house teams and being on majority white teams that you're not able to do that as well as the other players on that team? Or do you still feel like you have the room to bring in your own experience to?
Now I feel like I do. Mm. Like my current Herald team is not even majority white. It's now like split. Half the team is white and half the team is not. But I do think initially the first Herald team I was on was all white. I was the only person of color on my first Herald team. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yes, it made it difficult because I'm like, I swear to you, and I've said this on many a podcast, I don't know a single Dave Matthews Band song. I don't know. And then I remember thinking like, oh, I need to just like start listening to this shit and like researching it so that I can play at the top of my intelligence in these scenes and be part of that conversation. And I'm like, no, I'm going to be me. Mm. There's somebody else out there in the audience like me, I hope, if or not. But there are people out there in the world who don't listen to Dave Matthews Band. Mm. So like I am a person and I deserve to be up here without having done research about what white people like that I don't like. So yeah, it was challenging at first, but now it's like, I do think also there comes a level of like, okay, I can't make these references with this particular group. You come to terms with that unless you know it might get derailed. Because yeah. there is a supportive element to improv, obviously. So like, you do want your teammates to be able to hop on board with what you're doing. I don't know if white performers are always thinking that same thing when they make their references and scenes with people of color. I highly doubt it because they have lived as the majority. But I feel like as a black performer, I have found the middle ground of like, okay, I know you're not going to get, chances are you're not going to get this Martin reference. Yeah. So I'm not going to make it.
I do think that like Beth did a very good job of like mixing up the teams this year because I feel that same comfort on Leroy with like, our team is half white, half people of color, and it's three black people. And mm-hmm. we've just been, like, letting it fly, like, having mm-hmm. fun, like, doing all these references and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And what it's kind of encouraged is a dialogue where, like, you know, like, Lacey Mosley is, like, she's very known for this thing that she's doing right now called scamming, mm-hmm. which is, like, you know, intentionally deceiving people in the intent of, like, getting ahead. This is
like
a fun joke.
Like Joan, the scammer?
Yeah. So like one thing that she's been doing is wearing certain wigs for certain auditions. And like I remember she came into practice with a very curly wig and Josh was just like, how did your hair get like that? Like, you know, and like, so like it led to like a conversation where we could like talk about like, oh, okay, well like, you know, black women do this and stuff like that. And like mm-hmm. it's caused our team to kind of grow and learn about each other in a way. And like them learning the difference between Lacey, who's African American, and myself, who's Haitian American, and Amon, who's, you know, of African descent, and learning that like we can't all just be like thrown in a bubble like that. We're all raised differently.
Yeah.
Like it opens up doors and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially if those white performers are willing to have those conversations and do take interest, it's especially helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always find that, though. I feel like sometimes they're just like, this is my world. This is the world I know. Everyone knows what this is. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that matter. And sometimes don't take interest in that. So it's very cool that your team does.
Yeah.
My Herald team, my first Herald team used to like to, as a bit, which I don't know. I still don't. All a group of funny ass people. This bit was stupid. They'd like to come out to a Dave Matthews Band song called Ants Marching. And they started trolling me with it. And I would come out and do the intro every time and say, hey, I hate that song. They're doing this as a bit. They think it's funny for some reason. I think this is these are all very funny people, and this is the worst bit that they all do. And,
that's how you would open up your Herald night.
I do know a Dave mm-hmm. Matthews Band song because I think I remember the song you guys came out to. I don't know what it... If I heard it, I feel like I'd be like, oh, I know.
It was called Ants Marching.
Yeah, how does it...
Wonk, wonk, wonk. Wonk, wonk, wonk. It was stupid. It was a fucking terrible... I'm going to play it right now.
Yeah. Man, I swear to you, I this will probably be the only one that I know, but I truly don't know the references, and I wish we could... I would love to be on a majority people of color team and then have a white person feel left out of that conversation. I have my friend came to hang out with My white male friend came to hang out with my friend.
Okay.
Stop. Stop. Okay.
This is that's a terrible song.
You get it. You get it from okay. that point right there. And what I hated about it was I'm like, I know some Dave Matthews Band songs, and that's just the bad one.
Yeah, I mean, what's my friend came to hang out with my castmates and me from CBS Diversity Showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making jokes that weren't landing with them. And so afterward, I go, how does that feel? He was like, that's not fun. It's not fun at all. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel sometimes on Herald Night. This was like my first year still. I was like, that's how I feel on Herald Night sometimes. Mainly when we're talking about you're going to have jokes that don't land, right? But like with your teammates just not knowing what you're talking about.
It
so he
feels alienating.
Yeah, you're like, oh, they all get something and I'm on the outside. I was like, very good experience for a white man. I was like, yeah, come hang out with my friends of color.
It's the most alienating too when they try to make you feel stupid for not knowing.
Mm.
So like I'm not a big Star Wars, Star Trek.
Like that nerd uh-huh. geeky culture kind
I'm not
of
into,
stuff.
I'm
like,
not super into that, you know? But I'm also not dumb.
No,
and I also
not at all.
Know a ton of like I know enough. Like I'm not gonna be like, who's Chewbacca? I know who that is. But like that's how they do
but
with, like,
key, even
shit
if
that
you
I'm
did,
interested in.
Even if you didn't know who Chewbacca was, that's not the craziest. Like I do know who Chewbacca is. Yeah. But it's like even if you didn't, that wouldn't make you stupid. I just don't take interest in this thing and that's okay.
Yeah.
And like what makes improv good is having those various perspectives up there. So when they're like, let's make the game now how you don't know Star Wars. No. Mm-hmm.
It's also disrespectful in a way because they don't take into account like the reasons why you may not know. Like, for example, I don't know a lot of that stuff on both white and black culture because I was raised very religious and my mom was like, you can't consume. Like, she was a Haitian immigrant in mm-hmm. like a very strict evangelical religion. It was just like, you can't watch any of this stuff. And like, they don't understand that they're making fun of someone's big cultural difference mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of why it comes off as so ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's just like what we like is the norm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like and know and enjoy that stuff, then you're strange.
That's been kind of like theater geeks my whole life, though.
Because
I went to a performing arts high school.
You went to Hamilton, correct?
Yeah. And it like even back then. When we would come like from basketball practice or something to band practice, and they would like these like geeks would like shit on us, and it's like, hey man, we know how to do the same thing you're doing, and we also can dunk.
Yeah.
Like we're more well-rounded
we're more
than
rounded.
You are.
Yeah, like, absolutely. I can do both.
Yeah, like you can only do one thing.
Yeah,
and yes, I may not be as focused as you are on this one thing, but you're very one-noted. And like, so I don't know. That's. Anybody want any candy?
I want that banana Laffy.
You favorite. Like banana Laffy?
Banana
Laffy
are my
that's
favorite.
Your favorite too? Mm-hmm. That's why we're connected. That's truly out. I would eat, so if I got a bag of Laffy Taffys, I would take out all the banana ones.
Oh
and
my
eat them.
Goodness.
I like the green apple ones too. I like all Laffy Taffys. You know what the nastiest Laffy Taffy is?
Which
grape.
One? Yeah, I mean, grape flavored candy is really bad and it's so sad. Yeah. It's so sad.
Green is nasty.
I want them, most of them.
Grape soda's delicious.
Grape soda's amazing, but grape candy is so garbage.
Yeah.
I have a question. I know I'm not moderating this, but
please.
It just made me curious. Like, if you guys could go back and tell yourself now, knowing what you know now and the experiences you've had now as a performer, if you could go back, like, however many years to when you first started and tell yourself, like, one piece of advice, what would it be?
For me, like, it would be talk to Amon and Dane way earlier. Like, I cannot stress enough how much I would dodge, and Gerald. I would see them all the time. They're all performers on Arcade Currency with me, and I would just dodge them. And I feel like a lot of the issues I kind of ran into earlier on would have been easier to deal with if I was dealing them with black people as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, I remember one time in, like, 201, I think that someone did a scene about, like, the police
mm-hmm.
and, like, took the game too far. And, like, I was in a situation where I couldn't turn up. I'm in that situation a lot in mm-hmm. these spaces where, like, I want to get mad, but me getting mad is very different than someone being like, you offended me. Like, me getting mad and being like, yo, what the fuck was that? Is like, this guy may never come take classes here ever again because of how he blew up in that class.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I had black people around me, it would have made that situation a lot more tolerable and a lot more, like, easier to digest. So my one advice is, like, especially to new performers, anytime I see them, I'm just like, these are the, like, go watch Black Girl Magic, go watch, like, White Woman, go, like, to, like, these spaces and hang out so that you kind of have, like, a connective tissue. Because I feel like a lot of the new students that we see come through, they're mostly in white spaces, the new black students, and then they get tired of it and they leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I lucked out not leaving. So my advice would be like, find a black dude and just be like, I'm going to every Herald with you. Like, let's do this. Like let's hang out.
Yeah.
Mine would probably be It Gets Better. My 101 graduation show was on my birthday. And I just thought that I did so horrible that I, like, cried after the show and, like, tried to hold in tears. And my team, my class, like, presented me with cupcakes and sang happy birthday. And then I just started bawling because I just thought I was so horrible. And I think that a lot of it was that I couldn't relate to a lot of those people. Mm-hmm. And then I found Obama's Other Daughters shortly after. And I was like, oh, I'm not that bad at improv.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't get a lot of my stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gets better.
Yeah.
Coral? I would go back and tell myself to work harder and be better. And I got lucky because I kind of had a natural timing before I knew how to improvise, really. Mm-hmm. So I got invited into a lot of spaces probably before my time. And that probably made me a little bit arrogant.
Well, like you're like you could rely on like your natural talent and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember getting like shitted on, but it was actually constructive by one of my Second City directors. I also have to give a shout out to Shoni Francis and Dwayne Colbert, who were
absolutely
two big, like I was lucky enough to start Second City and those guys be there.
They take care of the black community improv at large. Like, it doesn't matter what theater you're associated with, they'll look out for you and take care of you.
And so those dudes, I had a support system with those guys. And my first team that I was on was a team called Bootsy Collins, which we ended up having to change that name. We got a cease and desist from Bootsy Collins. we changed that name to Women Be Shopping. But that was a super that was a super diverse team. It was split five guys. Five guys, four girls. That's my first experience doing festivals and everything with these guys. And everybody was like, it was like, I think like four white people, but everybody else was of color. Three black people, one Middle Eastern girl who's really dope, Sasha. But I remember probably being a little shit back then because I was like 21.
Yeah, you
22.
Were young, right? So
I was
think
young,
you could forgive
and
yourself.
I kind of got good kind of fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what I didn't do in basketball and in sports, period, what I did do in improv was not let that go to my head. Because I was
stick to it.
Naturally good in basketball, and that caused me not to work as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so then everybody passed me. Everybody got better than me, like very quickly. And I didn't want that to happen in this. So I maintained, I played enough to where I was able to, but I didn't really, I remember I got a few rude awakenings in I got one director who told me, who said, you're not good at this. You just rely on your charm. Mm. And I was like, that's a shitty thing to say to me, but I'm going to make sure that never happens. Beth, on my first year on Harold, I was the only person that she shat on the whole time. She was so hard on me all year long. I couldn't do nothing that she liked. And that would get on my nerves. And I was younger. I was 25. It's crazy how you grow every year. And I was like, because I don't seem, what do you mean?
Well, just, I think that sentence taken out of context is very funny. It's crazy. I know what you mean. You're talking about every year performing improv.
Yeah,
but every if someone year. Heard that, like, it's crazy how you grow every year. It's that's what happens.
No, I mean you stop growing at a certain point. But if you're talking about height, but I haven't grown height wise since I was
Carl. Wait.
What am I saying?
The
that's
rest
crazy.
Of your point.
I got cut off. I got cut off. What did I say?
Carl, please finish your point.
All right.
No, for real, you were gonna say so. Beth,
I forgot.
Was shitting, no, because I wanted Beth was shitting on you.
Yeah, she was very hard on me, as opposed to other people on my team who I felt were not as good as I was. But that's a mean thing to say. They're all great, but like just.
But you're talking about how you felt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was because she, when people see something in you and they believe in you, they want you to, and they see your faults, they want to fix those faults.
Mm.
And some people know how to get to me. And Beth got to me because I wanted to never give her the opportunity to say that I didn't know what I was doing on stage. And it made me a better Harold performer.
So, Ego, I want you to answer your own question, but I also think, so after that question, if you go ahead and answer the second question that I'm about to ask, which is like, I like what you said about relying on your own charm and stuff like that. So I kind of feel this as a black performer, that sometimes I'm giving opportunities. And like, I think about like Arcade Currency's run in the year of 2016 of like doing all these shows and like getting all like these things. Like, how do you not let that affect you? And how do you not rest on your own laurels in those terms of situations and try to push yourself past that? Like, I don't want to say like diversity pass, because I don't want to qualify any stupid white person's idea of like, you got this because you're black. But how do you not let that like natural, funny, or give an opportunity get to your head and allow you to relax and rest into it?
Okay. So to answer the first question, I say I'd go back and tell myself to like be myself and just lean into really my voice. I think when I started improv, I was like, this isn't so much you. And the same with acting, I felt like it's like, it's not so much you. You have the words here, or improv, you have the formula here. And there's a voice here at UCB where it is top of your intelligence, and just having a rational discussion sometimes in scenes.
Absolutely.
But I found in the last, well, actually when I did Showcase and I wrote stuff for myself, and people were like, oh, you can be funny. And I'm like, well, this is because I wrote what I wanted to write. I didn't have to follow anybody's formula. It made me be like, oh, that's what I need to be doing, is leaning into my own voice and just being myself, really being myself, the version of myself that I've always, like, my best friends get to see this, but with everyone else, I'm more composed in this way.
Absolutely.
When I did that, I was like, oh, now this feels better, and this feels like way more fun, and this feels like what improv is supposed to really be anyway. So I wish I had done that a long time ago.
That's kind of what your one person show is. I think, yes, that's what makes your one person show good, especially that that last tidbit. I don't want to spoil it.
No spoilers.
But it's like, it's so self-reflective in a way of just like, who am I and how do I fit into all of this? And like,
yeah,
that's such a strong journey and makes any piece feel less like, you know,
yeah,
comedy, yeah, which is weird because that's what we're going for.
Yes.
But it makes it feel less of a joke in terms of like, these are just funny characters. But like, there was that real deep self-reflective part of your spank that made it so strong.
Thank you. I feel like, yeah, specifically that too. It's interesting because truly leaning into like just who I am at the end there, and admitting things that I wouldn't really admit otherwise, because I
get real vulnerable.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also having grown up like working in the business spaces, like I know how to put on the like the suit and tie and have these conversations and be like very PC and get an office job and get a salary, and because of that I've like had to shut that off, because I'm like, oh, I don't have to do that in this space. Like, this isn't, sure, it's a business, but this is very different. You thrive when you're yourself and not putting on the like, and this is the professional,
that is
like
your business.
Yeah, exactly. So even admitting that stuff, I'm like, for like people who think I'm fully I'm composed and got it all together, it was very fun to be like, nah, I'm a mess. But then as far as like not letting opportunities and such get to your head, because you are afforded them, one is, I don't know if I ever let any of them really get to my head, because I do feel like as a performer of color, like I constantly proving myself.
Absolutely.
Maybe a little less now than when I first started. Like when I first started on Herald, it very much felt like, what is she doing up there?
Absolutely.
What does she have to offer this team? And what does she have to offer Herald Night? And why wasn't I on? She's just up there because she's diverse. And I think I've gotten past that and beyond that, and I think I've proven myself to the naysayers, but I also don't give a fuck about them. But like beyond that is like, I want to be better at improv. So like, if you're in it for the love and the enjoyment of improv, you do want to keep pushing yourself, and as a result, you are going to keep you're going to keep growing, and you're not going to let, you know, one accomplishment get to your head too much. I think I'm in like a competition with myself to be the best improviser I can be. Because when I think of like some of the improvisers I admire who came before me, I'm like, oh, I want to get Mary Holland level good, you know, like I want to be as good as like Madeline Walter, you know? So, I think that's the key, is not to be like, not to just, get comfortable.
Absolutely.
Basically, and be like, all right, good. People know, people think I'm good. And that's good enough here. It's like, try to be the best at what you do just for the sake of being the best.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
Ashley, you're on a Herald team brand new this year, kind of living the dream a little bit of like being on this like indie super team that like did very successful, and then having that transition into a run on Herald Night. How do you feel right now as a new performer? And then how do you feel as a black performer in your first year? Do you feel any sort of extra pressure being like, not only is this my first year, but I'm also a black performer? Like, do you feel like you're kind of holding up two lanterns in that sense?
I think I had a little bit of what Ego was talking about, like, initially getting up there and knowing that there were so many other people who are very talented that wanted it, and just being like, I better go out here and kill it, because they're going to be like, that black girl, you know, she didn't even deserve it. She got it because of whatever reason. But I think that being confident in knowing that I'm funny and knowing that I am doing the work makes me feel like I shouldn't care about what other people are thinking. It's definitely been a different experience in from coming from Obama's Other Daughters to Harold Knight. But I don't think I'm holding up two different lanterns. Is that the original question?
Yes.
Am I holding up a black lantern and a woman lantern and an improviser?
So maybe three lanterns. Yeah.
No, I feel like for the most part, I try to bring myself, my whole self to improv. I think the thing that I struggle with now is feeling very, you know, I haven't been doing it for very long, so I may not fully understand my comedic voice, but I'm not hiding one part of myself. I think because of Obama's Other Daughters and, you know, them making me feel so free and expressing myself.
Right, making you honest, keeping you honest.
Yeah.
So we all did a show last Sunday. Well, it won't be last Sunday when this is released, but it was an Armando show, and an Armando is like when you ask either the audience or a guest a certain question and they talk about it, and then you pull from like whatever their responses are. And we all asked the audience members who was a black person that they admired. And I just kind of wanted to ask you guys, this is more of like a fun question for me, but were you guys astonished at like how little the people had to say about the black people that they all loved and admonished so much?
Astonished.
Like, I was taken aback by it. Like,
no,
I was just like,
I wasn't.
Like, every time we're just like, hey, who's a black person you admire? And they'd be like, oh, my friend Carl. And they're like, what do you like about Carl? He hangs out with me. And it's like,
they don't know. Like, I think it's no secret that we drive culture we are at the forefront of what is cool.
Absolutely.
What is tight. Mm-hmm. So, like, they don't know what to say. They're just happy that they got somebody like us around.
You're right, though, because that is what it felt like with one of the responses, for sure, in the audience, where it was just like,
the dude
he's
that
just
was
cool. Yeah, he's like, he's just cool. Just cool. Like, he's just a cool dude, man. Like,
I think everybody said cool.
Yeah.
I think every person was like, oh, they cool.
Yeah.
And he's probably not even that tight of a dude, honestly.
No.
Like, that dude probably wasn't, like, he probably ain't doing nothing.
Right. Like, that's why I am always just like, black people are cool. We're so cool. Like, we really are. We are cool. So I can't knock him in that way, because he's like, all right, I'm white. There's not much going on here. This black dude, like, he is cool. Yeah. So I couldn't knock him, but it was like, damn, no specifics. Like, you don't have...
Yeah.
You were trying. You're just like, where does he live? Where does, like, give us something. You were trying so hard.
Yeah, like, what's, you know, anything about him? Has he overcome something? It was just like he's cool. But people think black people are cool.
Yeah.
And we do. You're absolutely right. Cool. When you say we drive culture, it is. That's what we do something, and white people are like, we want to do that shit next. I bet you everybody's going to be dressed up like they're from Wakanda, white people included.
So many hashtag Wakanda is going to be on Instagram.
I see
Twitter.
White people saying Wakanda forever, and I'm just like,
I can't find my dashiki for the night. But I got my Kaepernick jersey.
Oh, dope. I had someone, Deanna Reasonover did this very funny bit on Facebook where everyone was posting up their old headshots. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Mm-mm.
And I posted up one that was really trash, and this white woman commented on it and said, I've never seen a picture from the sunken place before. And I was like, whoa. Hold on.
Oh, let me go comment on it right now.
What?
She got that ass. Cody, pull it up.
What?
I was like, hold on. I don't know if you can roast me like that. Like,
yeah,
Lacey can roast me like that.
They don't know. They're like, I'm part of it too. Yeah. I want to be part of it. Talk about Wakanda forever. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So then, do you guys ever find that, like, in improv scenes and stuff like that, where you're worried about like doing a certain kind of scene and allowing someone into a certain kind of space that maybe they shouldn't be in. Like, I worry about that with, like, using the N-word and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I remember, or not even the N-word, but I remember one time in a Leroy show, the bit was that Lacey was never invited to a party. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it was, like, on the second beat, the party was a blackface party, and that's why Lacey wasn't invited. Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, am I kind of, like, allowing white people to make fun of this thing that's like a very real struggle for black people.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever worry about that on your teams?
On my team, not necessarily, no. But in real life, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's certain things I do all the time. With finding my voice that I didn't necessarily have when I first started, I've found that I get laughs on stuff that I'm like, what are y'all laughing at? Are y'all laughing at me or with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, does this come off as dumb to you? I have a slight southern accent. Does this, like, when I say something in a certain way, does this come off as me being dumb or something? It's like, I'm like, I promise you, I'm not. Like,
how do you balance that?
I just don't think about it. Try not to think about it. I got too much on my mind already. I'm already worried about every fucking thing. So I can't, like, think about whether as long as the laugh happens and as long as, I don't know.
It's kind of a Dave Chappelle complex, if we wanted to label it, because that's kind of what he struggled with on the Chappelle Show, right?
Yeah.
Where he was just like, are these people laughing at the nigger sketch because they get what I'm making fun of, or are they just...
think it's funny.
Do they think the word nigger is funny?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know. I mean, he was more talking about that. I don't know if you ever saw it. It came out in what they call the Lost episodes, when he wasn't there and it was Donnell Rollins and Charlie Murphy hosting.
Yeah, and then there was I know it's the one on the airplane where you're...
Catfish! Catfish!
It's kind of like so there's that trope in television where you have like a little angel on your shoulder and it's telling you, and he was saying that every black person has one that's just like a straight stereotype that appears on your shoulder and tells you to do very... stereotypical black things.
The fish or the chicken, sir? Get a chicken! I'll have the fish. That's okay. Catfish!
That's funny.
Did you have any similar struggle developing your voice, Ego, where you're just like, what's the humor here? Or
I tried, like, truly, when UCB's little motto, don't think, I really do try, like, that's the most liberating space to be in, because I'm like, I can't be babysitting y'all, then making sure that I don't say something, a reference you don't get, also make sure that I deliver this line in a way that you're going to understand. I'm like, a nigga's just up here trying to do improv.
Yeah.
Like, really, though, like, y'all be, it's too much. So I try not to think about it.
Absolutely.
In real life, I have had conversations with people similarly to Carl, where I'm like, yo, I've told this white person, I've like ventured into this strange territory with this white person, and I feel like I'm giving them a pass that they shouldn't have, but I want to go back in this conversation and be like, wait, no, that's wrong. I don't feel bad for white people.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for white people. So I don't on stage, not so much figuring out what they're laughing at. I feel like oftentimes I'm like, you guys can laugh at this thing that I'm doing, but their white guilt is just overwhelming. And,
sometimes and it's like, this is funny.
Let's do this.
But
they're just like, am I allowed to laugh at this?
Yeah.
Like, I want to be like, niggas, you could laugh.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing on stage for me is like, okay, we know that the white guilt's gonna weigh them down. They're not gonna laugh at this.
I remember one time in an arcade show, a Yende named Dane Trayvon just said like whatever Trayvon, and everyone in the audience went and then Yende was like, it's a name.
Yeah.
it's always been a name.
Oh my gosh.
You think there are not a million Michael Browns on this planet? You think they're not a million Philando Castile?
Okay.
I don't know about that one. That might have been the one. Yeah.
I name all my characters Philando Castile.
Carl.
So I got two final questions. So we've both, all of us here have all performed for black audiences and majority white audiences. Do you guys feel a difference between when you do those shows? I know, Ashley, both you and I have been on the Kiki spot. I think my favorite part about that show was that the host had to diligently explain what improv was to the audience to be like, all right, guys, y'all can't clap every time this happens, like, you know, because it's like a change and stuff like that. So do you guys feel any difference between The audiences, black audiences and white audiences?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
The black shows that I do are always just so much more fun.
Yeah.
And warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You seem excited to watch improv.
Uh-huh. I feel like there's a lot. The thing with the Kiki Spot is that we're trying to show black people that improv is for them.
Yeah.
And I find improv so valuable in so many different aspects. So I don't mind having to explain to someone
what an edit is.
Yeah. Let's do it. And then, you know, it's fun after, but it's always a little more loose.
Any major differences that you guys feel? Any major distinctions?
I'd say the blackest show I do is Trap Prov.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Trap Prov is so fun.
So fun.
The deal with that is we're doing short form.
Yeah.
Which people can understand.
It's a lot more accessible.
I guess I'm doing this Kiki show spot next week.
Oh, nice.
They don't know what long form is, do they?
The host
does a really good job of explaining it.
Okay.
Yeah, the host does a very good job of explaining it.
It's the third round. So.
Cool. Yeah. Audiences are way more supportive. What I find with Trap Prop, because when I'm doing Trap Prop, I'm not doing good improv.
You're wild. I'll say, as someone who's been on stage with you, it's the most free I've ever seen you in my life.
Because it's the most freeing experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the time where I don't have any, and guess what happens? I'll be so wild up there, and I also have a lot of experience with audiences, with varying audiences.
Well, like,
I did a job
that
every audience, every night was a different country, almost, mm-hmm. you know? So, I can do stuff in front of this black audience that I know they'll laugh at. And mm-hmm. then if I hit them with a smart improv move,
it blows
their mind.
That you're going to love the Kiki Spot.
It's like, how does that happen?
You're going to love the Kiki Spot.
Yeah.
Cause they love both of that. When you do a black thing, they love it. But when you do a smart improv move and a black thing, it's like,
hold on, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Let's clarify this. There's not a difference between a black thing and a smart improv move.
Yeah, what we're talking about in terms of smart improv move is like a...
when I just say something that's funny.
Exactly.
They love it.
Yes.
When I do something that's genuinely just
like a black specific.
Yeah. And when I rapped like Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
Like, I know how to do musical improv. Also, that wasn't even a good verse. I was thinking that shit.
You did the cadence very well in a way that everyone's just like, oh, Nicki Minaj. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then... when I hit him with an actual, like, oh, that was a game. That was on game. That was this. That was
he
that.
Repeated this character or he explored the world. That's what we mean by, like.
It really blows their mind. So it is something that they should be more into. And I think with the closing of IO West, it's going to open up some other opportunities for other theaters to come along. And I feel like now that more black people are in improv across all the theaters in L.A., I think somebody's going to explore some sort of black theater.
That'd be dope. And I think to kind of clarify that, it's like the difference between like recognizable and surprising, and the mixing of those two is what they really enjoy. It's cool. So the final question is, who is a black performer that you kind of looked up to and kind of like, you know, use as like a north light or whatever to like, you know, someone that you want to shout out here? I can go first. I've always said for a long time that my hero in improv is Ronnie Adrian. That was someone I was just like, man, this dude is like, you know, I enjoy how much he plays voice of reason in scenes. And I think that that's something really cool and something that I kind of aspire to be like. So for me, Ronnie Adrian. And then, of course, it feels weird to say this, but Carl Tart.
Don't believe it.
the first show I saw at UCB was Nomi Malone, and I saw Kirby, and I was like, I can do improv.
Wow.
And I think everyone, Obama's of the Daughters, has the same story. We saw Kirby, and we were like, oh my God. So that gave me like the confidence to take classes.
Absolutely.
But then I went to Sonoma Laugh Fest. It was my first time performing at a festival, and Carl and Ronnie did two prov for what, an hour, it felt like?
Yeah, it was about 50 minutes, yeah.
And it was, they had the whole audience. It was just, it was very inspiring. And I
really?
It was.
Never get compliments like this from Ashley, y'all.
What are you talking about? I compliment you on Sunday.
I'm gonna watch Carl disqualify every compliment.
Never get compliments. Ashley said to me on Sunday, it was a compliment, but also like, but don't get.
Check yourself.
So, what did you say? You said something like, you had a good show, but you already know that. I'm like, what? Can I just Can you just?
I mean, I know people around here hyping your head up, so I just want
nobody,
you to stay.
Nobody hypes my head. Let's
guys, if you want to hear Carl get like this, listen to Culture Kings on how stuff works. Oh, we don't have to do it. We don't have to do it like this. Let's just stick to the format on this.
Hey Carl. You're talented.
Thank you. I don't hear that. Thank you so much. That feels good to hear that.
Damn. As though Edgar literally did just say, talking about, I never hear that. Edgar just.
Ego, it's okay. You don't have to.
Edgar just said, yo. No, don't.
That man got the guitar.
Oh, no.
Don't.
Oh,
man.
Okay. So, yeah, Ego, a performer that.
I would say, Carl, stop. Let me say my performer. I would say this is someone I saw late in. I don't feel like as far as black female performers go, I didn't even get to ever see Nicole Byer on Harold Knight. So I would say that like last year, honestly, I did a show with Natasha Rothwell.
Oh yes.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Was it the hip hop show?
No, it was Nasty Women.
Oh wow.
And it was so good. Maybe it was like a year and a half now. Well, whenever Nasty Women was a thing. So like
in 2016,
late 2016. Yeah. So anyway, she's so talented and such a presence and so fully herself, and not timid at all. And makes big choices, and that was really she's inspiring to watch.
Absolutely.
Like so talented. Yeah.
For me, it wasn't many black improvisers doing it when I started, but I had a good black support system of a bunch of dope ass people. Mm-hmm. There was a team called Tuskegee Experiment that Marshall Gibbons was on. It was a bunch of black Second City people.
Absolutely, big shout out to Marshall Gibbons.
And Marshall took me under his wing immediately. Dude, Jason Kelly on that team took me under his wing. Stephen C. James was always really dope. Dwana White and other people on that team. They're going to be mad if they listen to this. Tammy. Yeah, Tammy was dope. And then Echo was at I.O. at the time. He was very cool with me. Like I said, Shoney and Dwayne were both really dope. A dude I came up in classes with we both came up together learning improv, but he was such a great actor. His name is Ace Gibson. We came up through Second City together. He was also on that Bootsy Collins team. And then I got fortunate enough to where, like, a lot of my... Oh, I mean, I can't not say Keegan-Michael Key. One of the first improv shows I ever saw was 313, which is a Detroit-based improv team that has, like, a bunch of heavy hitters on it. But honestly, the person who I looked up to the most in improv was a white woman at the beginning. Her name is Jamie Moyer. And she is so dope. And she's always been like such a huge figure in my life and in my improv life, and always. And she's from Detroit. She plays like she always. I would hear people say she does the same thing when she plays. She always does the same thing. She always, and I hate that as an attack, especially when that person's good.
And they've perfected it.
Yeah, and also she doesn't always do the same thing. She just has a distinctive voice. So the way she talks is just how she talks.
Yeah.
Like, and people, I always try to model everything I did after her. And
I see the Jamie Moyer in you.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's really, really cool.
She's a Detroit Second City person, a great teacher, great actor. And but I also just had like a really cool support system of people that I looked up to as just men and women in general.
Absolutely.
So like I was young, I was 20, and I had like Dwayne, who's like a second father to me, and like Shoney and Echo and Marshall and all these people who just kind of took me under their wing and like, you know, reprimanded me when I was doing something wrong and got on me, stayed on me, like always the people who I really feel like supported me in a place where it's hard to get support like that.
I would say the same for what White Woman has done for Arcade. You and Ronnie, I mean, especially when I got on Harold, I think you and Zeke and Ronnie were the first people to reach out to me and say, hey, if you have any questions or anything like that, you can ask. And I have, and you guys have answered. And there are times where like it can be a little hard to be like, man, I don't want to listen. But every time I've listened, it yielded fantastic results. So this is a section where you guys can go ahead and plug your stuff so that these people listening can know how to support excellent, excellent black performers. So, Ashley, where can people find you and support you?
You can find me on Instagram at Ashley Holstens. Mm-hmm. There's an S on the end of that. Also, every Wednesday, I'm dropping a news parody called We Crush Wednesday. You can find that on YouTube and Facebook. Oh, I'm sorry. And Obama's Other Daughters. At Obama's Other Daughters.
Yes, Queen. Okay, this is Ego speaking. You can find me on the gram at Eggie Boom. That's EGGYBOOM. On the Twitter at Eggie_Boom. If anyone knows Esther Wilson, I'll continue to say this on every podcast. She has Eggie Boom, no underscore on Twitter. Please tell her to give me that handle. This is getting out of control. She doesn't use it. She doesn't use it. And also love to plug my one woman show that we mentioned, Great Black Women, and Then There's Me. Next show is March 22nd. That's a Thursday, 8 p.m. at UCB Franklin. Buy your tickets, lest it sell out. And I can't help you then. But yeah, that's it. That's me.
You can find me on all things social at Damn It Carl. That's D A M M I T T no C A R L.
And that's it.
All right, fantastic. You can find me at Edgar Maupassier. You can find the spelling on the listing for this podcast because I'm too tired to spell it. And then you could hear...
Low energy.
It's true. It's true. That's who I am. And then you could also hear Carl and I on, along with another great performer who's also on Dollhouse, Jaquise Neal.
So grateful for him.
On Culture Kings on the How Stuff Works Network. All right. Thank you so much for listening, and you should be back to your regular format.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at UCBtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.